Good evening, Floyd fans. Bison here. Tonight is a special edition of the Floyd Void. I present Lich. So he may have the honors of interviewing one of the great musical genius-like minds of all time, Roger Waters. It's the Floyd Void on WHCN. Here's Lich.
105.9 WHCN. I'm Lich. And we present Roger Waters at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, August 8th. Those tickets go on sale May 8th. Roger, thank you for taking the time to do this. I greatly appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I actually want to start with what's to come in the future first for Roger Waters. Where did the idea for your opera, I believe it's Saira, come from? How did you come to the storyline, and what did you do to get ready for this project?
Well, it's a libretto is written by a friend of mine called Etienne Rodagil. That's R-O-D-A-G-I-L. And he wrote the libretto in 1989 as a potential piece for the bicentennial celebrations of the French Revolution, and came and asked me if I could set it to music. I said, I don't know, let me have a look at it. And I looked at it, and I liked it. It was beautifully illustrated by his wife, who's a painter. And so I had a go at it. I worked on my own in the studio for 6 weeks or so, and kind of mapped it out, and it went on from there. And there was a lot of talk of it becoming the inaugural piece of the Opera de la Bastille when that opened in 1990. However, I think we founded slightly on French chauvinism, because although my demo went all the way up to François Mitterrand, who claimed to love it and wrote a letter to Pierre Berger, who was in charge of the Opera House at the time, giving his full support, I think it slightly stuck in the French craw that the thing was written by an Englishman.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard that Sony Classical is going to release it sometime in the fall.
Whether it'll be in the fall or early next year, I don't know. I suspect it's more likely to be early next year, but there is no question but that we are releasing 80 minutes of it, which are excerpts, because the whole thing is about 2.5 hours long. But we've recorded 80 minutes. The orchestra is on tape. We're about to, in June, I go to Paris to record choruses. I've written an English language version at request. And so it's slightly complicated, because we're recording it in both languages, and it will be released in both languages.
Now, did it mark some kind of new plateau for you, putting you somewhere where you wanted to be in terms of the kind of things that you want to do, together with, let's say, the evolution and the life and the career of Roger Waters?
I've always been interested in the kind of big picture as far as music is concerned. You know, I've always been interested in storyline and dynamic and, you know, and all of that. So to be given the opportunity to work with a big orchestra and chorus and soloists as I have was great for me. It meant that I've had to do an enormous amount of learning. I've had to learn how orchestras work and what instruments can play what, and a lot about orchestration. And I've had to learn a lot about computers as well, about which I was completely computer illiterate until I started this project. And I'm now pretty okay with a software, an American software called Logic Audio and Logic. It's been great. It's been a very kind of liberating experience, and the piece is, you know, it's very kind of melodic, and it's pretty old-fashioned, actually. It's much more kind of rooted in a 19th century tradition than in anything that could be called modern classical music, which I confess I find pretty inaccessible. It's a bit too kind of intellectual and mathematical for me.
From the classical end of the spectrum, let's swing over to the rock side with pros and cons of Hitchhiking, Amused to Death, Radio Chaos. Speak to how you come to blend rock music for the masses, mass appeal music, with a vivid and cinematic imagination you have.
So that sounded like a statement or a question. What's the question in there?
I want you to speak to how you personally blend in your writing rock music,
right,
you know, with a vivid and a very cinematic imagination.
You know, it's a funny thing. I mean, Amused to Death, for instance, a lot of it was triggered by me watching stuff on TV. So, in a way, it was the images of some of the images, specifically a program about survivors of the First World War, which moved me to the point where I started writing all that stuff about, you know, using the story of Bill Hubbard as a springboard. Having said that, in the past, I've had an idea which I've then wanted to express theatrically, like The Wall, for instance. The idea is how alienation grows upon us, like a kind of canker, or can do, from the wonder child that we all are at the moment of birth into these shell-like creatures that some of us become, sadly. And I felt that part of my way to becoming that kind of wizened shell-like creature had been brought on by being in a very successful rock and roll band and the alienating effect that that had on me, which I recognized during the Animals tour in 1977. So I was able to marry those two, my experience, you know, of being in a rock and roll band, and also my experience of losing my father and blah, 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 all of that stuff, into this one theatrical experience, which was, you know, building a wall in front of a rock and roll band playing on stage, and thereby expressing that sense of alienation in a very dramatic and theatrical way.
105.9 WHCN. I'm Lish, chatting with Roger Waters, who comes to the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford August 8th. Tickets on sale May 8th. So, Roger, with that in mind, do you write sometimes about things that you're trying to understand or sort out, that you internalize, that lay deep within inside you? You know, you're trying to make sense of some things. Maybe it's cathartic for you?
Yeah, it's in a way, it's not a try. I don't try, you know. It's a kind of, that's really a misnomer. What happens is that, you know, I said my eldest son is 22 now, and I was talking to him about some problem he was going through about whether to stay at the college he was at or not, whatever. And I said to him, I said, Harry, the trick in life is to discover what it is that you feel. You know, find within yourself the place where you feel feelings, and then discover what they are. Once you've discovered what those feelings are, you follow them.
Let's stay with your feelings. Is there one of your CDs that defines you just in your craft as a musician?
I don't think so. I think there are a number of them that are more successful in terms of the craft than others. You know, I would say that Dark Side of the Moon and The Wall and Amused to Death, it are, in terms of the craft, are the most successful works.
Why?
What?
Why? What about it defines
you? I don't know. It's just, you know, I like to use the analogy of being a painter. I just, when I stand back and look at those three paintings, I think, oh, Christ, they're really good paintings, you know. They're maybe in Radio Chaos or The Final Cut or Animals, or, you know, they just don't quite make it in the same way. You know, they're successful in certain terms and in certain ways, and there's good songs on them or whatever, but they, you know, they're not quite as complete. It's just, in any body of work, I think there are certain things that stand out. You know, if you look at, I don't know, some novelist, I can't think of anybody. But you know, if you look at the work of Joyce, for instance, or somebody, then you say, well, maybe Ulysses is it, or maybe Ulysses and maybe Finnegan's Wake. You know, those are the two paintings that actually describe the man's technique better than anything else. And I think that's the nature of all, you know, Beethoven's Fifth, or maybe the Prodigal Symphony, or maybe the Calls. Okay? There's a reason why they're better known, and they weren't, you know, and they're more popular, and they're more generally accepted to be, you know, great works than the other 100 opuses, you know.
But all of your writing, I mean, there's definitely it's thought provoking. It creates an image. There's an intellectual base about it. The lyrics and the music, whether it's Pink Floyd or Roger Waters' solo music, is still, there's still a lot of intelligence based in there. And which is more difficult for you, music going in search of lyrics or lyrics being set to music?
Neither is particularly difficult. Sometimes they come up together, sometimes one comes first and then the other. Usually they appear together. You know, it's kind of, what happens is, I have to change. I think it's really important that I have my own revolution going on all the time. I'm a great believer that in a number of things, but two which are coming more and more solid for me as the years go by are, one, you can't change anything outside of yourself. And two, if you stop changing what's inside of yourself, you're dying. You stop living.
You go with your instinct.
It's called change. It's important to keep changing. It's important not to get stuck, you know, not to get too stuck in what one believes about things or in the position that one's in, you know. I see life, you know, you take a path and you shed baggage as you go down this path, and hopefully one approaches a more enlightened condition, and you approach a place where you're more at one with whatever it is, whatever life is, whatever that force is. And those of us who are lucky enough to be involved in working with music, as in any art, maybe touch connections, either between people or between me and an audience, or somehow the connections are made between one bit of the audience and another bit of the audience. It seems to me that art is about explaining, it's a way of holding up a picture to ourselves of what human existence is like within the context of the universe and God and everything that's beyond us, you know, and within it. I know this sounds like bullshit.
No,
maybe it is, but
no, not at all. Lastly,
that's how I feel, anyway.
So let's bring all that together now. Lastly, looking back, how do you measure your career, and what do you most want to be remembered for? Leaving the music world with what?
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, I get letters from people who my work has helped on their path sometimes. Or something's happened to them because of they've listened to a song or they've been to a show or something. And that's very cool. Although most of this show will be kind of retrospective, I'm really looking forward more. I'm looking forward to recreating some of those magical connections that I remember from the early days of Pink Floyd, before we were overtaken by the weight of numbers. And I don't know, I have a few, and I'm looking forward to making a new album, a rock and roll album, and I've got some time booked in early next year to start doing that. I've got a few songs, and I've got a kind of idea, you know, actually I told somebody the idea, I was keeping it very secret, and I thought, shit, why, you know, what, it's only an idea. And my idea is this, that each small candle lights a corner of the dark. So I guess what I'm starting to get into writing about is personal responsibility.
Thank you very much for your time. I greatly appreciate you taking the time to give me such intense answers for all these things. I appreciate that.
Not at all.
105.9 WHCN presents Roger Waters at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, August 8th. Tickets on sale May 8th, and I'm Rich for 105.9 WHCN.